Weekday Wake Up on the SVI Radio Network, and over the course of the year, we'll have a chance to catch up with various candidates running for various offices locally and statewide, and gubernatorial candidate Senator Eric Barlow is in studio today. Senator Barlow comes from Gillette to us today, Senate District 23, former Speaker of the House in 21 and 22, has been in the Senate as well, and now putting his name in to run for governor of Wyoming. Senator Barlow, good morning. Welcome over to Lincoln County today.
Well, good morning. What a gorgeous, brisk morning in Lincoln County today. Thank you.
That it is. Absolutely it is. Well, you're running for governor. Let's talk about your background and what led up to this point for you, and maybe what got you into politics to begin with.
Sure. So I guess a little bit, just a short bio, if you don't mind, Duke, is no, I'm a fourth generation Campbell County ranch kid. After high school, went in the Marine Corps, went to veterinary school. That means I went to Colorado State, but Wyoming doesn't have a veterinary school. So practiced veterinary medicine, and then we've been operating the family ranch in Campbell County. My wife and I, we have two great kids, etc. Our family ranch is cattle, sheep, and yak. And I noticed as I was coming into town, there was a few yak on the south
That's
end
right.
of town.
Yep.
And I've got quite a few yak available if somebody's interested in yak, and this climate would be perfect for them. So we've been blessed, and part of, you know, why you talked about why we're doing this, on this journey for governor, well, it starts much earlier. It starts in our family. It's about service in our community, whether it's to local nonprofits or to the other organizations that are, you know, food insecurity, youth groups like 4-H. My wife is a 20-plus year 4-H leader, etc. So it all comes down to how are you serving in your community? And then in the late 90s, getting to why public office, public policy, I had friends and neighbors who were dealing with some private property rights issues. It was an eminent domain issue, and I felt like they were getting the raw end of a deal by a big corporate interest. So private property rights was kind of my first initial foray into, hey, this isn't right, how do we fix it? So I spent a lot of time learning the legislative process, lobbying the Wyoming legislature, getting involved. And then 5 years, 6 years later, it happened in my community with our own family ranch. Private property rights became really important. So you go through that process, you learn all those different things, go lobby the legislature, you know, and you start making a difference. You say, oh, well, folks have problems. What are the solutions and how do we actually make a change? So that's kind of how it progressed. It started with just community service, and then it's like, okay, there's a problem. How do we fix it? And then go do the work. Served on the livestock board for 6 years. As you know, I'm both a veterinarian and a rancher. And then in 2012 decided, how can we make a difference and in people's lives? And so we, my wife and I, we prayed about it and said, well, the Wyoming legislature makes the most sense. And we're fortunate. We've been elected six times out of that place, five times in the House of Representatives. And I represented both part of Campbell and Converse County. Of course, you know, Gillette, we're the energy capital of the nation. Add Converse County in that. We might be the energy capital of the, you know, the galaxy. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of energy that comes out of that. So that became, you know, a big focus of my service was how do we protect those energy industries and the working people in my communities. Wright, Wyoming is literally the heart of my district, which was celebrated its 50th anniversary this year because it was an energy town. It was came together because of the energy community. So I served as Speaker of the House, as you mentioned, and then the tradition in Wyoming is you move on. After you're Speaker of the House, you move on. I was, we again prayed about it and ran for the Senate, and I'm in my fourth term. When I was Speaker of the House, I should, for the members of this valley and the members of your community, Dan Dockstetter was the President of the Senate. So Dan and I became, you know, became close colleagues in our responsibilities to Wyoming, to the Wyoming legislature and friends. And so that was good. So currently in the Wyoming Senate, serving my last term, or the last year of my term. And then, we decided through prayerful thought, what is next? We still have time in our public service, hopefully, a portfolio. What can we do? My wife and I prayed and visited with lots of friends, and through encouragement, decided that running for governor to help execute the laws of the state of Wyoming and deliver the services that Wyoming deserve and expect and protect freedoms we could do that as governor of Wyoming, and that's what we're doing.
Senator Barlow in studio this morning on the weekday wake up. So, Senator, you mentioned being from the Gillette area and the coal industry that's there. Of course, in Lincoln County, we have coal as well on a much smaller scale, but there is some concern on the future of coal in southern Lincoln County. And then, of course, with the addition of nuclear and everything like that, how do you see Wyoming progressing into the future with energy production?
Sure. I think we have a strong position to continue to actually grow our portfolio. One of the first visits we did to Southwest Wyoming, went to Kemmerer, visited Kemmerer operations, the mines there. The mine there went down in the pit. It was a fantastic day. So much different than, I'm just telling you, than the Campbell County experience, if you've been in an open pit coal mine in Campbell County. Much different experience. And then, of course, Terra Power and those things. Look, uranium is mined 25 miles from my front door. You know, those mines have been there for 50, 60 years. Obviously, depending on how active they are, depends on what the market is for uranium. So, look, in Campbell County, for your community, I want coal to continue being mined. We need customers to do that. If that means we burn more coal, we build another power plant, certainly that's my hope in Campbell County. I don't know if it's quite as... you have the same opportunities here in Kemmerer, but we need to find customers for that coal because it's a quality product. I know rare earths, another potential in many communities. The uranium thing, you're going to have the Terra Power Plant here. We have the raw product, the ore in our community. What can we add between those two places in all the processing and all those things that can be Wyoming, and add value, add jobs, add all that, and bring the expertise here and train our own expertise to make this power. And this is about electrons on the grid, right? This is about powering homes, powering industries. And I think there's tremendous opportunities with investment and innovation. Wyoming will continue to be the leader in all of those areas. More coal, more oil, more gas, and now uranium's fitting into that space as well.
Senator Barlow, as we get ready to head into the upcoming legislative session, a lot of committee work and everything happening right now, a lot of headlines with the Joint Appropriations Committees and some of their budget recommendations at this point. One of those recommending cutting the University of Wyoming budget by $40 million. What is your kind of stance on this with funding secondary education, University of Wyoming moving forward, and where do you see this going?
So the governor has the opportunity to advance a budget proposal to the legislature. That occurred last year in November. The governor forwarded a balanced budget with savings. And I think it was, he can describe his budget for himself, but I think it made sense. Since then, the Joint Appropriations Committee meets for 4 weeks, 2 weeks in December, 2 weeks in January, and then they make adjustments to that proposed budget. What I would say is process-wise, I think what we've seen is not the norm. What we would have is if there were concerns about a budget or a particular agency throughout this process, after you receive, that agency would have come in, there would have been honest discussions, stakeholders would have been on notice that, oh, there's a concern for this agency or that, this program or whatever. And then there would have been ongoing conversations. And both the University of Wyoming, Business Council, and all the other state agencies were brought in, but things weren't flagged in a way that people could say, well, we hear the concern by the legislature, by the Joint Appropriations Committee. So how do we need to have those discussions and better inform both the committee and the broader Wyoming about the importance of these programs? So process-wise, I think it's unfortunate. I just think it's unfortunate. Good legislation, good public policy is built on relationships and the process, understanding a process where the stakeholders, where people across the state of Wyoming have input. Now we're going to take their recommendations, JAC's recommendations, which I'm very hesitant about. Not that I don't think we need to examine things, but just the way they unfolded. Are we best informed right now to actually make these decisions? And I respectfully, I am not well informed enough about the cuts that are being proposed to say I can go along with them. That requires more discussion, decisions. It'll start happening, as you know. The legislature starts in 3 weeks, and hopefully we'll be able to have those honest conversations about some of these proposals. Because right now, I can't support him because I'm not well informed enough, and I don't think the process has provided that opportunity.
Senator Barlow, as governor, one of the big issues across the state of Wyoming, some in more places than others, as you and I just talked about, Lincoln County's been hit real hard with property tax increases. There have been some mitigations and things put in place with that. But if you were to be governor, how would you see or like to see the state move forward with property taxes?
Yeah, so I think the Wyoming legislature, which I've been a part of, and over the last 3 or 4 years, as you know, legislature has taken a targeted, measured approach to addressing communities like this one, who have seen, you know, unsustainable increases in property values, which translate into higher property taxes. It's a simple formula. If one goes up, the rest, you know, the outcome goes up as well. But in other parts of the state, they don't have the same issue. And so how do you have an equitable tax system across the state of Wyoming where homeowners, particularly, this is residential property, homeowners particularly are, you know, have the opportunities. So those targeted things, we have a constitutional amendment that was passed that allowed residential to be its own class, owner-occupied to be a subclass. We had a 4% cap, which has come under some scrutiny, potential scrutiny in the future, 25%. Probably the most important thing is remember what those taxes are funding. They're funding K-12 education. And I know Star Valley and this area has some stellar schools. Senator Dockstader brags about the performance of these schools and these students out of this community often. Healthcare, another thing that local taxes are a part of in different parts of the community or different parts of the state, different ways. Local governments, cities, towns, counties. So schools, 70% of property tax, local government, the 30%. Schools, state has an obligation to. We will do the backfill. Local governments, then it's time for folks to really consider what services that may not be available if we can cut property taxes. In this community, as you mentioned earlier, the increase has been so much that even a cut maybe keep you even, or maybe it's actually a gain. In other parts of the state, that's not the case. Cuts are real. Cuts are real. And on the general ballot this coming November, citizens are going to get to decide if they want a 50% cut in residential. So I think the targeted measured approach is appropriate. Long-term homeowners, the 4% cap, things like that, which are, the 4% cap is super meaningful in a community like this. You don't have the 40% increase. Your value of your property went up there, but your taxes didn't go up 40%. They were capped at 4%. And so that, I think, was meaningful, and we'll continue to examine that, even with the concerns that some have expressed about it. So I want a reasonable tax system where families aren't harmed. They can stay in their homes, afford their homes, that's equitable across the state, and that we don't strand services, meaningful services, healthcare, education, EMS, this challenge in other parts of the state. I know you've got a great healthcare system up in this valley. This is a unique spot in a lot of different ways, one of them being the property values, but also the things that, you know, communities do when they come together, when they have resources. You guys have done some remarkable things. So as governor, look, we just need to understand the consequences of these actions, have a fair and equitable tax system, and then, you know, continue to adjust it as needed for those folks that really are having challenges.
That's Senator Eric Barlow running for governor in the upcoming election in 2026. Senator, thank you for your time. Anything else you'd like to mention today while we have you on the air?
Well, again, absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous morning here in Afton. Thank you for this opportunity. You know, look, I'm just a simple ranch kid from Northeast Wyoming. We have honesty, hard work. I love the freedoms we have. I love this gorgeous place that we have. And we're looking forward to the opportunity to learn more, listen, learn, and do the work on behalf of the citizens of Wyoming, currently as a senator and then as the next governor of Wyoming. So thank you.
As Senator Eric Barlow this morning, it's all part of the Weekday Wake Up on SVI Radio.